Hello and welcome to this episode of By His Word. I am your host and teacher, Candy Carmichael. We have been discussing the life of Moses, the reluctant leader of the children of Israel, while they were in bondage in Egypt. Last week, we learned of the early life of Moses and how he was raised in the palace of Pharaoh, the ruler of Egypt. Pharaoh had commanded that all the male Hebrew children be killed at birth to eliminate future growth of the Hebrew population in Egypt who were slaves there. But the mother of Moses had hidden him in a basket in the river as a baby. Pharaoh's daughter found him and adopted him as her son. When Moses was grown, he killed a man who was oppressing a Hebrew slave, and he fled to Midian. There he married, had two sons, and then God called him to return to Egypt, team up with Aaron, his brother, and go to Pharaoh to demand that the children of Israel be released. So far, Pharaoh had refused to release them, even though God had brought three plagues upon the land in rapid succession. Egypt as a nation was pagan and worshipped many different gods, each of which supposedly had dominion over a certain part of the earth. For example, the first plague was against Hapi, the river god who was unable to prevent the waters of the river from turning to blood. The second plague was one of frogs covering the entire country. This plague was against Heket, the god of fertility that was symbolized by a frog. This god was unable to prevent the frogs from getting into everything or to make them leave. Pharaoh's magicians even made things worse by duplicating the miracle and bringing in even more frogs. The third plague targeted Geb, the god of the dust of the earth, which became lice when God brought it upon man and beast. Magicians were unable to duplicate this one, and Geb was shown to be powerless. After each of these plagues, Pharaoh still refused to let the Hebrews go, even for a three-day break to sacrifice to God in the wilderness. So the progression of plagues continued, and the next one was about to begin. And the Lord said to Moses, "Rise early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh as he comes out to the water. Then say to him, 'Thus says the Lord, let my people go that they may serve me. Or else, if you will not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies on you and your servants, on your people and on your houses. The houses of the Egyptians shall be full of swarms of flies and also the ground on which they stand. And in that day I will set apart the land of Goshen in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there, in order that you may know that I am the Lord in the midst of thee. I will make a difference between my people and your people. Tomorrow this sign shall be.' And the Lord did so. Thick swarms of flies came into the house of Pharaoh, into his servants' houses, and into the land of Egypt. The land was corrupted because of the swarms of flies." Exodus 8:20-24. After a time of enduring the plague of flies, Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and told them that the Hebrews could make their sacrifice to God, but that they could not leave their places in Egypt. Moses and Aaron objected to this, saying that the Egyptian people would consider this an abomination and would stone the Hebrews. They needed to go into the wilderness to make the sacrifice. Pharaoh said that they could go if they didn't go far away, and he asked Moses and Aaron to intercede for him. Moses and Aaron did so, and the Lord removed the flies. But when Pharaoh got relief, he changed his mind and refused to let the people go. Again, the strong armor of the Lord proved far greater than the pagan gods of Israel, or of Egypt. Exodus 8:28-32. Even though Pharaoh was the one who refused to release the children of Israel, the plagues came upon all the people of the land. Though not all of the Egyptians were guilty of persecuting the Hebrews, the entire population suffered through the plagues. This was the consequence that everyone had to experience because of the stubborn resistance of the national leader to the will of God. Because God gives free will to all human beings, it can be a tool of destruction when an evil ruler has power over a large group of people. This fourth pagan god was Khepri, supposedly the Egyptian god of creation and movement of the earth. This god had the head of a fly and all of its images, but it was shown to have no power against the true God of creation, Jehovah, Lord of the universe. When this plague ended, the fifth plague soon began, and this one was to deal a severe blow to the nation's economy. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go into Pharaoh and tell him, 'Thus says the Lord God of Israel, let my people go that they may serve me. For if you refuse to let them go and still hold them, behold, the hand of the Lord will be on your cattle in the field, on the horses, on the donkeys, on the camels, on the oxen, and on the sheep, a very severe pestilence. and the Lord will make a difference between the livestock of Israel and the livestock of Egypt, so nothing shall die of all that belongs to the children of Israel. Then the Lord appointed a set time, saying, Tomorrow the Lord will do this thing in the land. So the Lord did this thing then on the next day, and all of the livestock of Egypt died, but of the livestock of the children of Israel, not one died. Then Pharaoh sent, and indeed, not even one of the livestock of the Israelites was dead. But the heart of Pharaoh became hard, and he did not let the people go. Exodus 9:1-7. By now, the people of Egypt must have been making a great outcry. Not only was their food supply gone and means of business and transportation gone in one day, but the whole country was filled with the decaying carcasses of hundreds of thousands of dead animals. This created not only a terrible stench and pollution of the land and water, but now there was a monumental task of burying these dead animals. The people of Egypt were learning that their gods were powerless against the God of Israel. The God targeted in this seventh plague was Hathor, the goddess of love and protection, who was usually depicted as having the head of a cow. Obviously, she was unable to protect the livestock of Egypt from destruction, thus making a mockery of another pagan deity. The sixth plague was designed to target Isis, the Egyptian goddess of medicine and peace. This was a major deity whose worship spread even to the regions of Greece and Rome. She was considered to be the divine mother of the pharaohs. She was also believed to help the dead enter the afterlife and to bring healing spells to the common people. She is about to get a major embarrassment with the onset of this plague. So the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, Take for yourselves handfuls of ashes from a furnace, and let Moses scatter them toward the heavens in the sight of Pharaoh. And it will become fine dust in all of the land of Egypt, and it will cause boils that break out in sores on man and beast throughout all of the land of Egypt. Then they took ashes from the furnace, and they stood before Pharaoh, and Moses scattered them toward heaven, and they caused boils that broke out in sores on man and beast. And the magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils, for the boils were on the magicians and on all of the Egyptians. But the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he did not hearken to them, just as the Lord had spoken to Moses. Exodus 9:8-12. There were times when Pharaoh hardened his heart, and then there were times when the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, hardened the heart of this ruler. And in this plague, there is no definite indication that the Lord brought relief from the boils. I cannot imagine the pain of multiple boils on the body with no real medical help or pain relievers available. Isis was a useless deity during this plague. The plagues continued in relentless succession, and still Pharaoh would not allow the children of Israel to leave Egypt. Now the seventh plague was about to begin. Then the Lord said to Moses, Rise early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh and say to him, Thus says the Lord God of the Hebrews, Let my people go, that they may serve me. For at this time I will send all of my plagues to your very heart and on your servants and on your people, that you may know that there is none like me in all of the earth. Now if I had stretched out my hand and struck you and your people with pestilence, then you would have been cut off from the earth. But indeed for this purpose I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you, and that my name may be declared in all the earth. As yet you exalt yourself against my people, in that you will not let them go. Behold, tomorrow about this time I will cause very heavy hail to come down, such as has not been in Egypt since its founding until now. Therefore send now and gather your livestock and all that you have in the fields, for the hail shall come down on every man and on every animal which is found in the field and is not brought home, and they shall die. He who feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his livestock flee to the houses. But he who did not regard the word of the Lord left his servants and his livestock in the field. Exodus 9:13-21. Many of the Egyptians by this time had seen, after six plagues, that the God of the Hebrews was far more powerful than any of the gods of Egypt. Those who had lived close to where Pharaoh lived heard the proclamation of the coming hailstorm. But since there was no TV or internet, those who were far away from Pharaoh had no way of knowing what was about to come. The seventh plague was aimed at Nut, the Egyptian goddess of the sky and stars. She was reputed to be the mother of the goddess Isis. As we shall see, this pagan deity was powerless against the Almighty God, who was the true God who made and controlled the universe. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand toward heaven, that there may be hail in all of the land of Egypt, on man, on beast, and on every herb of the field throughout the land of Egypt." And Moses stretched out his rod toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and fire darted to the ground, and the Lord rained hail on the land of Egypt. So there was hail and fire mingled with the hail, so very heavy that there was none like it in all of the land of Egypt since it became a nation. And the hail struck throughout the whole land of Egypt, all that was in the field, both man and beast, and the hail struck every herb of the field and broke every tree of the field. Only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel was there no hail. Exodus 9:22-26. This time Pharaoh was frightened enough by the catastrophic devastation of the land to say that he had sinned this time and to entreat the Lord to stop the hail. He even confessed that the Lord was righteous and that he and his people were wicked. Exodus 9:27. Pharaoh stated that he would let the people go. So Moses said that he would stretch out his hands to the sky and the hail would cease. But he also told Pharaoh that he knew that Pharaoh was still not convinced enough to let the people go. When Pharaoh saw that the hail ceased, he again hardened his heart and refused to release the Hebrews from bondage. Exodus 9:33-35. The eighth plague was geared toward Set, the Egyptian god of storms and disorders. He also was the god of the desert, of violence, and of foreigners in the ancient Egyptian religion. He had a canine body and a head with slanting eyes and a long, curved, pointed snout. Supposedly, he was the master of storms and disorder. He was about to be proven woefully inadequate in the eighth plague. Now the Lord said to Moses, "Go into Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the hearts of his servants, that I may show these signs of Moses before him, and that you may tell him in the hearing of your son and your son's son the mighty things that I have done in Egypt and my signs which I have done among them, that you may know that I am the Lord." So Moses and Aaron came into Pharaoh and said to him, "Thus says the Lord God of the Hebrews, how long will you refuse to humble yourself before me? Let my people go that they may serve me. Or else, if you refuse to let my people go, behold, tomorrow I will bring locusts into your territory, and they shall cover the face of the earth, so that no one will be able to see the earth, and they shall eat the residue of what is left, which remains to you from the hail, and they shall eat every tree which grows up for you out of the field. They shall fill your houses, the houses of all your servants, and the houses of all Egyptians, which neither your fathers nor your fathers' fathers have seen since the day that they came on the earth to this day." And he turned and went out from Pharaoh. Exodus 10:1-6. Now the servants of Pharaoh are beginning to put strong pressure on him to release the children of Israel. Their land had been devastated by seven plagues so far. Crops have been destroyed, livestock have died, and the people have been miserable with various physical afflictions on top of it all. We don't know how long a time period was between the plagues. Most believe that it was just a short time, but it could have stretched over many weeks or even months. There was a question of the livestock being destroyed in the fifth plague and then being destroyed again in the field during the seventh plague of hail. If all of it was destroyed in the fifth plague, then how did the Egyptians get more? The answer is that they most likely took the livestock from the Hebrews who were slaves in the land. Or the Egyptians could have forcefully taken livestock from surrounding countries. In either case, it would have been necessary for them to rebuild their herds rapidly in order for them to survive. Many of the servants of Pharaoh pressured him, and Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron. He said to them, "Go, serve the Lord your God." Who are the ones who are going? And Moses said, "We will go with our young and our old, with our sons and with our daughters, with our flocks and our herds we will go, for we must hold a feast to the Lord." Then he said to them, "The Lord had better be with you when I let you and your little ones go. Beware, for evil is ahead of you. Not so. Go now. you who are men, and serve the Lord, for that is what you have desired. And they were driven out from Pharaoh's presence. Exodus 10, 8 to 11. Now we're going to take a brief break, and you can find out how you can be witnesses in 177 different countries around the world. We will be right back.
We hope you are enjoying today's show. We believe that God has given us a voice to impact communities and regions all over the world. If you would like to make sure that voice is heard, please partner with us today by visiting www.expressionradio.org and click donate. You can also text give by texting the dollar amount followed by the word radio to the number 84321. First-time text givers, please choose Expression Church of Huntington when prompted. All gifts are tax deductible. Join us as we change the world.
Welcome back. We have been discussing these ongoing plagues. So God then commanded Moses to stretch out his hand over the land of Egypt. An east wind began to blow all of that day and all night. The next morning, the locusts arrived and ate every green thing and all the fruit in sight. No plant remained in all of Egypt. Pharaoh called in haste for Moses and Aaron to entreat the Lord to remove the locusts. Again, Pharaoh confessed his sin, but he did not truly repent and thus change his behavior. Because of this, the Lord had hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he refused to release the children of Israel yet again. Exodus 10, 12-20. Now you may wonder why the Lord had hardened Pharaoh's heart. In the beginning, Pharaoh was the one who rejected the command of the Lord and hardened his own heart. But after Pharaoh did this multiple times, the Lord saw that there was no genuine contrition or repentance. So the Lord used the ruler's own stubbornness to show his mighty power. It was also a warning that as the Lord had warned in Genesis 6:3 that his spirit would not always strive with man, that he had given Pharaoh over to his own rebellion that would eventually bring his destruction. The ninth plague targeted Ra, the Egyptian sun god. This was a major deity who was believed to rule the earth and the underworld. He was also thought to have been the first pharaoh of ancient Egypt. He is depicted as having the head of a falcon. But this god was no match for the creator of the sun, as this plague was about to show. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, a darkness which may even be felt." So Moses stretched out his hand toward heaven, and there was thick darkness in all of the land of Egypt for 3 days. They did not see one another, nor did anyone rise from his place for 3 days. But all of the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. Then Pharaoh called to Moses and said, "Go, serve the Lord. Only let your flocks and your herds be kept back. Let your little ones also go with you." But Moses said, "You must also give us sacrifices and burnt offerings, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. Our livestock also will go with us. Not a hoof shall be left behind. For we must take some of them to serve the Lord our God, and even we do not know what we must serve the Lord with until we arrive there." But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let them go. Then Pharaoh said to Moses, "Get away from me. Take heed to yourself and see my face no more, for in the day that you see my face, you shall die." So Moses said, "You have spoken well. I will never see your face again." Exodus 10, 21-29. It was time for the grand finale. Nine plagues had been brought upon Egypt, but Pharaoh had still refused to let the Hebrew people go. He was now going to experience personally the power of God against his stubborn rebellion to release his slave labor in Egypt. And the Lord said to Moses, "I will bring one more plague on Pharaoh and on Egypt. Afterward, he will let you go from here. When he lets you go, he will certainly drive you out of his land altogether. Speak now in the hearing of the people, and let every man ask from his neighbor, and every woman from her neighbor, articles of silver and articles of gold." And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, in the sight of Pharaoh's servants, and in the sight of the people. Then Moses said, Thus says the Lord, "About midnight I will go out in the midst of Egypt, and all of the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die. from the firstborn of Pharaoh, who sits on his throne, even to the firstborn of the female servant who is behind the handmill, and all of the firstborn of the animals. Then there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as was not like it before, nor shall be like it again. But against none of the children of Israel shall a dog move its tongue, not against man or beast, that you may know that the Lord does make a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. And all of these your servants shall come down to me and bow down to me, saying, Get out, and all the people who follow you. After that I will go out. Then he went out from Pharaoh in great anger. Exodus 11:1-8. This announcement was made to the people, and even Pharaoh was warned of what was about to come. But he still refused to let the people go. Now the Lord gave instructions to Moses and Aaron about preparations to leave Egypt. This was the beginning of the first Passover meal. Each family was to take a male lamb or goat that was about a year old and without a blemish. At twilight, the animal was to be slain and its blood put on the lintel and two doorposts of each house. The lamb was to be roasted in fire and eaten with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. It was to be eaten in haste, and they were to be dressed and ready to leave at a moment's notice. This meal would be known as the Lord's Passover. Exodus 12:1-11. This final plague targeted Pharaoh himself, because the Egyptian people believed that their pharaohs were divine, and they worshipped them as deities. So this Pharaoh was about to learn that he was just a mere mortal man and not a god. The symbolism of the first Passover would not be understood by the people at the time, but it was a beautiful type and shadow or symbol of the coming Redeemer and his death on the cross. Jesus would be the perfect Lamb of God who was sacrificed, and his blood would be the protection against eternal death because of sin. It would have to be applied to the door, which was the entrance of all that was in the house, just as the blood of Jesus covers all that is in our hearts. Jesus was also the bread of life. The bread that the children of Israel ate had no leaven, because leaven represented sin and its spread. Jesus was the sinless lamb, the only one who was qualified to be the sacrifice for sin. The bitter herbs represented the suffering that the Israelites had endured in Egypt for about 430 years. It also represented the suffering that Jesus had endured to bring us so great a salvation. So Moses gave full instructions to the people on how to prepare the lamb, to cover their doors with its blood, and to prepare the Passover meal. He gave explicit warnings to the people that they were to stay inside their homes all night as the Lord passed through Egypt to slay the firstborn. Only those homes that had the blood of the lamb on the lintel and on the doorpost would be spared from death. This night was to be remembered and observed every year from this day forward as the people obeyed and they worshiped the Lord. Exodus 12:12-28. And it came to pass at midnight that the Lord struck all of the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh, who sat on his throne, to the firstborn of the captive who was in the dungeon, and all of the firstborn of livestock. So Pharaoh rose in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. Then he called for Moses and Aaron by night, and he said, Rise, go out from among my people, both you and the children of Israel, and go, serve the Lord as you have said. Also, take your flocks and your herds, as you have said, and be gone, and bless me also. And the Egyptians urged the people that they might send them out of the land in haste, for they said, We shall all be dead. So the people took their dough before it was leavened, having their kneading bowls bound up in the clothes on their shoulders. Now the children of Israel had done according to the word of Moses, and they had asked from the Egyptian articles of silver, articles of gold, and clothing. And the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they granted them whatever they requested. Thus they plundered the Egyptians. Exodus 12:29-36. Thus began the midnight journey out of Egypt for the children of Israel. Imagine having to wake sleeping children and arouse the flocks and the herds to start on a journey to a place they didn't even know. All they knew for the moment was that they no longer had to toil in the brickyards for Pharaoh. They were no longer slaves in Egypt, but they also did not yet know how to live in freedom. Everything that they could carry was taken out of Egypt on a very long walk that they had just begun. The people could hear the weeping and the cries of the Egyptians as they mourned their dead family members. The lack of sleep and the urgency of their flight was upon all of them as they left the place of their captivity. Then the children of Israel journeyed from Ramesses to Succoth, about 600,000 men on foot besides children. A mixed multitude went up with them also, and flocks and herds, a great deal of livestock, Exodus 12:37-38. Now this was no small group that left Egypt. There were 600,000 men alone. Most of them would have been married, and families usually had at least two or more children. So this would have brought the total to at least 2.5 million people. Plus, the verses say that a mixed multitude went up with them. So these were most likely Egyptians who saw the great advantage that the Israelites had over the pagan gods of Israel. They had seen the power of the Hebrew God, and they felt it best to get out of Egypt while they could. So they tagged along. Now this does not mean that these people were believers in the Hebrew God. As they got farther and farther away from Egypt, and the memory of God's great deliverance and miracles began to fade, this mixed multitude may have reverted to their pagan worship, and they may have even influenced some of the children of Israel to do the same. Now imagine the task that Moses and Aaron had of trying to lead 2.5 million people on a long journey. Even the psalmist wrote hundreds of years later about the great deliverance of the children of Israel. He also destroyed all of the firstborn in the land, the first of all of their strength. He also brought them out with silver and gold, and there was not a feeble one among the tribes. Psalm 105:36-37. This was the great miracle of the Passover meal, as each family ate of the lamb and of the unleavened bread. It brought healing to every person who partook of it. The elderly were relieved of arthritis, blindness, or deafness. Any malady that any person had, young or old, was instantly healed. The Lord knew that they had a long journey ahead of them, and they needed to be healed of any physical problems beforehand. In the same way, when we partake of communion today, it very often will bring healing as we eat reverently of that bread. The meal was a beautiful type and shadow or symbol of the communion that we celebrate annually or whenever we remember the death of Jesus Christ on Calvary. The unleavened bread that the Jews use for Passover today has both small marks and markings on it, or small holes and markings on it, that they do not realize symbolize the nail prints and the marks from the beatings of Jesus. The time will come when Israel will finally recognize Jesus as their true Passover lamb who died for them as well. Now we are going to continue our discussion on the life of Moses next week. Until then, stay close to Jesus.
We hope you are enjoying today's show. We believe that God has given us a voice to impact communities and regions all over the world. If you would like to make sure that voice is heard, please partner with us today by visiting www.expressionradio.org and click donate. You can also text give by texting the dollar amount followed by the word radio to the number 84321. First-time text givers, please choose Expression Church of Huntington when prompted. All gifts are tax deductible. Join us as we change the world.